Blog Talk Radio.
Say something. Hey, it's me, Rob. Oh, I could hear it through your mic. All good. It's crazy how on the main page, like, Trump owns the main page of YouTube.
Really?
Yeah, like every, you know, I mean, I'm on there all the time, you know, for work.
Mm-hmm.
Work. But yeah, like every day for the last month, it's been a different ad that he, like, he just owns the page. So fucked up.
Better than Max Rose and Nicole Malliotakis. Did you see those ads that I linked in the Discord?
Oh, no, I haven't been.
Oh, dude. Oh.
What's fucking that?
Go in the, let me link you right now. I want you to see one of them because it's like,
okay,
it's magical. Let me find it. Hold on. Sent you the link. It's like the most Staten Island thing I've ever seen in my life.
Trying to find the run sheets.
I could link you.
Okay, I got it.
You have it?
Yep.
Just watch the whole thing, man.
Hey, look at Max Rose. How did this guy ever slip in here?
A wolf in sheep's clothing, I think.
Does not stand by his word.
Hoodwinked us all the way.
He's a liar.
He is a liar. He's a liar.
He's a
fucking
liar.
Liar, and he's a fraud.
Max Rose, no good. Sorry.
Congressional leadership.
The guy with the fake hair dye is amazing.
There's another one that isn't as funny as that, but there's a guy who says, Max Rose, he doesn't care two bits about the people of Staten Island.
Can't hear you, Darren.
Yeah, not gonna.
Oh, there we go.
It's so good.
That's my favorite one.
The other one though has the lady cursing. I've never seen that in a political ad before.
Cursing and bleeped, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
The one with the one with the two bits is also the one where there's the as a wife of a former.
Oh pastor, my God! Yeah.
It's like a Rosie Perez.
Yes.
The wife of a former detective. I cannot support Max Rose. He sold all of us out, something like that. And this is the best part. We should save it for the air, I guess, but I'll just give you a little preview, is that they always, 100% of the time, play that commercial back-to-back with the pro-Max Rose commercial. Where
they're probably the only ones buying ads, like buying the local ad times, you know?
But it's, they spend you know, 45 seconds saying how shitty Max Rose is because he isn't right wing enough. And then he goes, oh, no, no.
I'm plenty right wing.
I assure you.
Yeah,
I love Donald Trump.
Yeah, like I've even started to see them. He's not obviously in my district, but I think it's just their
buy is so wide ranging now that I see them now on the local.
That's been. Are we going to talk about this to Jordan Uhl?
Well, I told him we'd only keep him for half an hour. I just want to – the first thing I want to talk about is the five-finger death punch thing. And then after that, whatever. But I think we should just leave that. That's what the bland is about.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I have no programming preferences. I was just asking.
Are we waiting for him to call in before we start, or are we starting and then whenever he calls in, he calls in? And is he Zooming or is he calling?
Yeah, he's Zooming. He's Zooming it good.
He retweeted. I saw that.
Yeah, he's good about that stuff. Hopefully, we'll have a few new lists. Like, this could actually be something I feel, too. Like, we could actually end up gaining a few followers from him.
That would be great.
Joining the show. So, somebody has to keep tabs on the Discord. I'm trying to keep tabs on the YouTube chat that runs.
What do you mean by keep tabs? Just like for
questions?
Well,
like if somebody, yeah, like if somebody comments on, like, you know, I like including, you know, audience stuff.
I try to check every few minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if somebody says something funny about what we're talking about, feel free to drop it in. And that way it's like a little plug for the Discord.
All right.
Boom, boom, boom. I messed with the settings a little. I feel like the video quality that we're all broadcasting in is a bit higher quality now. I don't know if you've noticed. So, Watsuk's connected. Bland is ready. Let me test it.
If he does call in before we start, feel free to let him know that, like, if he wants to stay on longer than half an hour, he's welcome to, by all means.
Yeah.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Somehow, Five Finger Death Punch put out a controversial video last week, and it got Rob really upset. No, not because of the content.
I need something to put as my background. I have no ideas right now.
Some sort of ironically patriotic thing. It's Halloween season.
What happened in the news recently? That's what I usually
do. The New York Post thing. Mass wealth inequality.
Well, I don't want to bum everybody out with my picture.
Trump talking shit about Fauci was the thing.
Ooh,
political.
Rush Limbaugh has terminal lung cancer.
Well, we knew that. He's just like talking about it again.
Oh, I didn't realize it was terminal.
I mean, that's why they gave Trump gave him that award at the last State of the Union and all that. Jeff Bridges announced he has cancer.
That's so
sad. That was in the news.
The dude needs to live forever. I mean, I guess we could start once Darren.
It's all right. I got it. I think I got it. How's that?
Well, the election hasn't happened
yet. You can't tell. It's like your face is right in the.
Really? You can't see that?
Off center.
And now your chair's blocking it for a second.
Yeah, you're just going to be blocking it. It won't really come across.
All right.
Rob, if this is out to you because he's having trouble logging in, would it be like text or DM or like?
I'm on DM. I have the DM open.
Okay.
But I don't like it's the same link you guys got. I don't see why he would get
an issue. I'll just go back to this until I think of something.
Nice. Seasonal.
Should we just start?
Yeah.
Maybe by the time you've done the intros and the promos and stuff, he'll be on the line, hopefully.
I've been also changing my background. Like when something comes up, I'll just put something we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah, that's fun. Let me just share on Facebook.
Salud. Thank you.
Oh, here he is. Great. Yo.
Hello.
How are you?
What's up, man? Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Great.
We're just about to go live.
Nice.
And if you find yourself having a good time, feel free to hang out as much as you want. But we'll try to only keep you half an hour. We'll try.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start the stream.
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Somehow, Five Finger Death Punch put out a controversial video last week, and it got Rob really upset. No, not because of the content. Just because he had to watch the whole thing. Come on, Ivan. The poor boy has been through enough this year. Take it easy on Rob. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Yeah, come on. Five Finger Death Punch. Have some consideration for my time. Don't be putting out these political videos. Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. Tuesday, October 20th, and it is Rob here with Sid,
hey,
Garen, and our very special guest, political commentator, progressive activist, and all-around swell guy, Jordan Yule, is with us. Thank you, Jordan, for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And, you know, Jordan and I have similar political sensibilities. I enjoy following him on Twitter. Also, we have similar musical sensibilities, so it's always nice to see that crossover, because as we dissect here on the Metal Injection Livecast, sometimes the politics and musical tastes of myself and other metalheads aren't exactly the same. So, great to have you on, Jordan. And we mentioned the Five Finger Death Punch video, the video storming the nation. We're going to get to that in just a second. I do want to remind everyone, we have a phone number here. If you want to be a part of the show, you can do so by dialing us at 213-WIDENUT. That's 213-943-3688. We also have a live Discord chat going on as the show goes on, and, you know, 24/7. Discord never closes. So if you want to join our Discord room, the invite is on any of the live cast episodes. So make sure to check that out. But I do want to talk about this Five Finger Death Punch video. When I first saw it, the headline, I want to say something nice about it. I give them credit. I give them credit for actually taking the time to put together a narrative, and like, aesthetically, it's very well produced. It looks very nice.
But basically what you're saying is that you are crediting them for making a video, because no one else does that anymore.
Well, right. Well, also, yeah, in the world of heavy metal, especially nowadays with tighter budgets and honestly COVID restrictions, you're not seeing too many music videos. And when you do see music videos, a lot of them are just like a band in a warehouse, a band out in the field. Very rarely do you see like the classic music video that you remember. Like, you know, and this Five Finger Death Punch video is right up there with narrative videos like Michael Jackson's Thriller and Guns N' Roses' November Rain. It's like today's version of that.
Oh, gosh.
Jordan, have you seen the video? And if you have, what were your first impressions?
Yeah. And I've been listening to the song constantly. It's one of those songs that I, at first pass, it's like, oh, this is terrible. And the video, I just thought it was like just perfectly made for like Facebook uncle like outrage culture.
Yes.
And you know, the song grew on me in a way that sometimes would be like a Nickelback song would. It's like, mm-hmm. It's kind of catchy, it's got a decent riff. You know, not a band that I listen to ever, but I've been listening to the song kind of ironically, and now I think it just, I've become that character, and now I'm listening to it constantly.
I think that is the tragic thing about Five Finger Death Punch, is that they have the ability to make earworms. Like, they're
yes.
very, very catchy, and it's so infuriating because it's so terrible.
I agree, and the same thing has happened to me. You know, I have to write about Five Finger Death Punch. It's my job, people. And so I have to listen to these songs, and sometimes the same thing happens to me. There are a few Five Finger Death Punch songs that I like. I'm not even going to say ironically. Like, I like them. I have. There's no such thing as a guilty pleasure in my world.
They're certainly talented musicians.
And there are parts. Yeah, there are little moments of the song that definitely did get stuck in my head, just because I did end up watching this a few times to write about it. Because As we're going to see as we watch this video, there's a lot of metaphorical imagery here, and some of it might be too deep to comprehend. So I, on Metal Injection, I basically did almost a shot for shot, I would say a scene for scene breakdown of the video to explain it, because, you know, for some people, they might not get the message. And then the best part about it is, you know, after we posted this video, and, you know, my headline was new anti-mask five-finger death punch video might be too deep, so let us explain the symbolism. That's what I wrote. And then I kind of went through it. And then afterwards, the guitarist, Zoltán Báthory, or as I like to call him, Zoltán, because, I mean, that's really his name. Okay. Let's be honest, because he's, you know, from somewhere in the former Soviet Republic. We can look it up in a second. But he said it wasn't anti-mask. So let's watch the video. I'm more inclined to watch it without the audio, just because I do not want the copyright takedown.
Let's see what you had to break down like a Lars von Trier film here.
Right. So, it starts with a very, very deep and important quote, which is, fiction reveals truth that reality obscures.
Whoa.
And it's like, man, I wasn't expecting to like get all philosophical. I just wanted a five-finger death punch video, you know, guys?
Rob, are you saying you weren't expecting to see a Ralph Waldo Emerson quote in a five-finger death punch video?
That's correct. Now, which member of a band do you think recommended this quote? And did they see it? Did they read Emerson, or did they see it in like an Instagram meme?
Zoltán, for sure. Hungarian.
Yeah. Oh, he's Hungarian. Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Okay, so let's start it up. It starts with fiction reveals truth that reality obscures. Then we see a title card for the video, Five Finger Death Punch, Living the Dream.
No. Oh.
And then it kicks off with some zombies. And I do want to say this is some of the like weakest makeup in the entire video, because you could totally see where the mask ends and the makeup begins, and that's like makeup 101, I feel, you know, like look at this is very cheap prosthetics. They ran out of budget on the prosthetics, I feel, you know. So it starts with this, and what they're hoarding toilet paper.
The right? Zombies need toilet paper,
right?
Well, they're eating brains all the time. Where do you think it goes? It doesn't just stay in there.
But like, I don't still watch The Walking Dead, but I saw the first few seasons, and you'd think there would have been zombie shit all over the roads and wherever they, because it's not like a zombie's going to go and find a bathroom. They're just going to shit wherever they are. If they're using toilet paper, if they're shitting at all.
Well, Keith, like I said, like this is why I had to do the explainer, because the zombies are a metaphor. They're not actual zombies. They're like the quote unquote sheep that went out and tried to hoard because they were told what to do. See?
Okay. So if you're not a sheep, you don't bother wiping your ass. Got it.
That's totally what they're saying.
I'm sorry, we just paused on Bruce Vilanch cosplaying Captain America. Can we discuss this for a second?
Yes, and so then the scene changes. You're inside of a bar, and there is an overweight man.
Voluptuous. Can I call him voluptuous?
A voluptuous.
Be kind.
Adult male in a poorly fit Captain America suit. And the lyrics kick in at this point, and you hear, you know, Captain America. Let me see.
Are you going to sing the song as we go?
I'd rather sing it, because then we won't have the YouTube take down. You know, and that's really like this content is too good to be taken down. Captain America, are you off to fight the bad guys? Hey, mighty Superman, can you save us from ourselves? See, it's very deep.
Okay.
So with that, so now we have Captain America. He's
I did not expect that.
He's out of shape. He's the American dude, and he's fighting with a guy in a Superman mask.
So what I'm supposed to take away from this is so Captain America is what, like the Democrats or something, and like what, who is he? Who are the two sides in this fight?
Whoa, Rebecca Moore.
Hold on.
This video.
I don't understand who these people in the bar are. So these are, I guess, they're just regular Americans, right? Okay. They're just they're down on their, like, everything is sucking for them. They're overweight. They're doing drugs. They're fighting amongst themselves. This is all set up here, right? And then the big, and then they get kicked out of the bar. I don't get. Why is Iron Man doing Tide Pods? And also, isn't Tide Pods, like, how long ago was that?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, that's, like, to me, what first stood out. Like, this is kind of antiquated, like, boomer Facebook culture.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, millennials just love the Tide Pods. Like, it's hilarious to them.
Also,
never mind that joke hasn't been funny in, like, a year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And beyond that, like, if you actually go and look into this, it's a total, like, false – like, nobody ate a Tide Pod.
Well, it's also so – it's so antiquated – to your point that I forgot, I didn't know that I was looking at a fucking Tide Pod. I thought it was like a Halls, like a Vicks Vapor Rub or something.
Again, Darren, this is why I had to do the explain. It's too deep. You just miss these very important little details that they throw out. Now we're at a scene where, and now I was very nice. I described this woman as an elitist, but it's very clear between us and the live cast stars listening at home, it's very clear this is a liberal elitist. It's very clear this is like Nancy Pelosi, which, you know, hey, I'm all for mocking Nancy Pelosi. But, I mean, really, they're not really nailing it.
Either. Well, mocking her from the left is fine.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be a takes about how she's a Marxist Alinskyite or something.
Right. So it's a older, I don't want to say older woman, but, you know, like a woman who's lived a few years, an experienced woman. But like very well put together, and she's like in a suit jacket, and she has an exempt pin with a bunch of stars on it, reminiscent of the flag of China. And so, which again, it's like, oh, who is that supposed to be? Is that supposed to be a Republican or a Republican interpretation of what a Democrat is? You know, like how else can you interpret this? Okay, so what is she doing? Let's see here. She's very happy. There's a line of people, and she's going one by one and giving them all, this is for you, and she hands them a mask. And these people, they're so happy to get
this mask.
It's
almost like they're being knighted.
Yes. And this character proudly puts on his mask. And as a reward, he gets a compliant pin.
Oh, wow. Now they're not even pretending. It's just
a hammer and
sickle.
And this is really where I lost it. And this went from like, I'm suffering through this. I'm loving this. Where is this going next?
It amazes me that people, like literally both sides of American politics, will refer to the hammer and sickle. Like you have the, like these right wing type idiotic, you know, demonizations of Democrats. And then on the other side, you have liberals like will go on MSNBC and say that Russia is taking over our country, our democracy, and they're both using the hammer and sickle of a country that has not existed for 30 years. How does this happen?
It's good branding.
And so okay, and also now, so like watching this scene, to me, it tells me, and maybe I'm misinterpreting, maybe it's too deep even for me, it paints the picture that they're coming at it from an anti-mask perspective or an anti-regulation perspective, like that we shouldn't be told we need to wear masks, which is already changing the argument to something that it shouldn't be, I think.
Right. Yeah. Rob, you used that image, I think, in your story art for this breakdown. Like, this is the first thing I saw on Twitter was, I think, a link to Metal Injection about this video. And I saw this image, that pin with the hammer and sickle, and I immediately went, oh, fuck, I'm not. Oh, are we allowed to?
Yeah.
Encouraged.
Okay.
Encouraged.
Some shows you're not allowed. I'm not watching this. And it took me about a day, and I heard more from other people that it's hilarious and you got to see it. But like, as soon as I saw that, I kind of knew where it was going. Because this kind of implies, like, it's not really about public health or any sort of collectivism. It's about, we should have the freedom and liberty to do what we want. Well, we've seen how that's played out now. Like, if this video came out at the onset, maybe that might be more understandable. But now, compared with the rest of the world, we see how this kind of like rugged individualism actually plays out in this moment. So it's very funny to see this come out this late in the year in the pandemic.
That's a great point. It's way too late for this point of view.
Do we know when they filmed this?
That's a good question. I mean, it had to have been in the last few months, right?
Yeah.
It couldn't have been any sooner. So regard, I mean, really though, even if they put it out a month after or 2 months after, it would still be just as ridiculous. It would just be more timely. All right. So she's very happy. Everyone has the masks on.
A round of applause.
Now we see this prison labor and this guy who just looks like Gollum. Like, did they get like a Gollum look? Like, I don't want to insult this actor, but and hold on. This is the coolest thing. I sincerely, non-ironically want one of these. It says the People's Republic of America and all the stars in the America. So it's a prison tracksuit that's like navy blue, like a teal blue and,
sure.
and grungy. And then there's a screen print on the back that says the People's Republic of America. And instead of the flag, instead of the stars in the American flag, it's 50 hammers and 50 sickles. And then the stripes, which is like, hell yeah, brother. Let's do it. Sovietism for all 50 states.
Once again, right wingers making the liberals seem way cooler than they actually fucking are.
Like, and I honestly don't even understand like what this that scene is supposed to be, like the prison labor. Like, is it a commentary against prison labor? Like, how does that tie into the
but I like that.
Think it is.
Huh?
I don't think it is.
Like, well, like that.
Like, what is that? Like, what was the point of that? I guess it's see, some of the stuff I can't even grasp. But now we
are literal back. Labor. I think it's like they're herding sheep into getting us to do it.
Yes, you're right. It's more herding. You're right. I'm giving it too much credit, maybe.
You think so, Five Finger Death Punch is against prison labor? Come on.
I mean,
now.
They probably have a huge fan base in prison. You never know. And
yeah, so, that's a captive audience, literally.
They don't want him going anywhere. Fuck out of here.
Okay, so now we see the elitist, and we see she has chains, but we don't see what's at the end of these chains. And you know what? Like, again, I'm already in. I'm sold on this video. But when I saw these chains, I was like, oh, shit, where are they going with this? Who
is Greg the Hammer Valentine connected to it?
So she's walking through Main Street. Everyone but her has a mask on because she is exempt, which, again, I don't understand the commentary here. This woman is representing a liberal elitist. All
I think
the
to
people,
your point.
What's that?
I think to your point about Pelosi earlier, she had a moment about a month or two ago where she went to that hair salon and wasn't wearing a mask. And right-wing Facebook culture was like, oh, wait, she doesn't have to wear a mask, but we do. She can go places, but we can't. And I think that's kind of like a pretty heavy-handed metaphor for Pelosi.
So thank you. I was going to bring that up. And yes, that's why I thought it was Pelosi, because I was like, well, she did have that moment where she got caught in the hair salon. But other than that, she's worn a mask everywhere. She was caught not wearing a mask for like 20 seconds. That doesn't mean she's going – like they took this one little morsel of truth, as they do, if I can do my best DJ Khaled and just mark everyone else as they – and then they expand on it like it's this whole big thing when it's not. So these poor compliant people are now out in the world, and I love this scene. They're out and they're on a date or whatever, and they get ice cream. But then they're like looking at the ice cream, like, wait a minute, how do we eat the ice cream? We have these masks on.
Like, it looks like somebody already ate her ice cream. Is that part of the statement?
Maybe they were just shooting for so long that they just ran out of ice cream.
The ice cream melted.
Because look, yeah, like I'm in this shot, his ice cream is all right. Like, I don't think that's what they were trying to do.
And now I want to see Joe Biden at a campaign stop, like trying to eat ice cream and shoving it into his mask.
I'm sure that's already happened.
So now we see that she has humans on the leash. And the humans are dressed in all dark apparel that would be like combat gear almost.
Is it supposed to be Antifa?
Yes. I can't imagine it's a metaphor for anything else but Antifa. And that metaphor will become much clearer.
Oh,
I do want to point out that the lead dog, and I use the term D-A-W-G, the lead dog up here, has a mask on, which diehard Five Finger Death Punch fans will recognize as the knucklehead design. The knucklehead is like Five Finger Death Punch's version of Iron Maiden's Eddie.
You notice, by the way, that all the Antifa people are white, which is their criticism. Partly that Antifa is like a puppet for, you know, they only have white people doing this. And secondly, also because Five Finger Death Punch doesn't know any black people.
Yes, I did want to, the only black person in the video so far was the bouncer at the bar.
No, the guy selling them the ice cream.
Oh, right.
Oh, was he?
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Oh, you're right. This guy. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Wait, that's so Keenan Thompson.
Five Finger Death Punch, the only service worker, they had to make it a black person. It's a little fucking racist.
So this is literally the best part of the video, guys. You really need to prepare yourselves for the social commentary. So remember, there was the Republic of America flag. We loved it. We talked about it. And then sure enough, here, this elitist is just walking down the street, walking her human dogs, saying hello to the ice cream, the good ice cream man, when all of a sudden, what's going on? Uh-oh. What? Antifa's mad. What do they see? What's over there? This is... Oh, my God. Oh, my God, people. For our audio listeners, it is a traditional American flag. It's Old Glory itself. It is like one of those tiny hand flags, but like in a popcorn with old stars and stripes. And so the Antifa dogs see this.
Oh, Rob, the Antifa dog sniffed out that the popcorn isn't vegan.
There was gluten in that popcorn. And they were like, and then so the elitist sicks the dogs. She lets them go. She lets them off the leash and all hell breaks loose.
No.
This poor ice cream man's truck is being destroyed by these animals. These anti-fascist fascists. And this was where I was like, this is I can't believe they went for it. You know, like I give them some, like, it takes balls to put something out like this, you know, because they knew they wanted the critique, you know, they wanted people to call them out for how fucking stupid it is because they wanted people to talk about them. As we are doing right now.
Yeah. So mission accomplished.
And so this is too much for the ice cream compliant folks.
Oh, no.
And then suddenly the prison guard somehow gets wind of this and the zombies get wind of this.
And they put down that toilet paper.
They put down their masks. They put down the word. All of a sudden we see a news thing. And this is a very interesting shot. So it says the Great Awakening. And somebody with more knowledge than I pointed out to me that this is in fact a QAnon dog whistle, because the Great Awakening is a term in QAnon. Jordan, are you familiar?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the one thing that stood out.
What is the Great Awakening in QAnon lore?
Yeah, it's one of their slogans. I mean, I'm not specifically sure what it's like if it's geared toward a specific event, but yeah, that is like one of their go-to phrases, along with like where we go one, we go all. And if you're unfamiliar with QAnon, it's a conspiracy theory where they believe that a satanic group of like pedophiles are kind of pulling all the strings, and it overlaps with various other globalist conspiracies and Pizzagate. And recently it's been manifesting as like violence. We've seen like people who adhere to it, like actually engage in real world violence, where they think people in their social circles or communities are doing like human trafficking. And it's really alarming at the rate it's growing. And even the image on the screen also parallels with something that they believe, that they believe Antifa is spreading wildfires all over the country. And that image is someone compared it. It's very close to another image that's circulating in right-wing like Facebook and social media circles that claims that Antifa is starting wildfires around the country. So this screenshot that you have up here of this newscaster who also kind of looks like a certain
Jacob Wall.
Yeah, him. And there's one other person I specifically think about who is like a broadcaster in kind of right-wing world.
Oh, okay.
That also kind of pushes these types of narratives. This whole thing is, it's just like, it's a perfect encapsulation of right-wing media consumption habits and how that evolves into fringe theories.
Yeah, and so this great awakening suddenly leads to all the characters in the video, and we see Five Finger Death Punch, and they are angry. They are. Like, look at how angry
Would
Ivan
you be
Drew
angry
is.
If you looked like that, Rob? Come on, be honest.
He willingly got that, those tattoos. I don't understand why he's covering up his face tattoos, though. He should show them off.
Well, Nancy Pelosi will throw him in jail or make him one of her Antifa dogs if he goes out with those.
So this is another amazing scene. It's like the end of Avengers, where like all the superheroes join forces and run, but it's like Five Finger Death Punch and like all the fat Captain Americas and all that.
Wait, is Captain America in Five Finger Death Punch? That guy? Or
no, that guy isn't actually in them. Okay. So I love is that we see like all these service people, like firefighters, cops. They're running with traditional like Old Glory American flags, and they're getting shot down with the worst Chappelle Show level CG of like gunshots and like After Effects 101 gunshots, and then someone else behind them runs up and makes sure to pick up the flag. Like, forget that this person just is shot and is laying there with their arm shot. No, fuck you, we need to keep the flag up in the air, we need to preserve the flag. Like this woman got shot in the shoulder, and then this army guy, rather than checking to see if she's okay, just worries about the flag.
The real version of this video is like the cop was not paying attention because she was planting drugs on like a 17-year-old. Turns around and gets winged, and she's holding.
It never clarifies, and I've been wondering, and maybe you guys have theories. Where are they running, and who's shooting them?
Right, exactly. Like that doesn't make sense. And
just running,
because also you see when they start doing the running. Nancy Pelosi is like running in the opposite direction, seemingly.
But also,
like
she's still on that sidewalk, and they're in a field somewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
it's like, what? Where's the cop? Like, I was so in on this, but like, where? How are these scenes connected right here? Where is the continuity, Five Finger Death Punch? Please. And then the big
you
reveal
had me until here.
Yeah, this was such a cop-out to me, I thought. Like, you stick with a narrative, like, there needs to be a conclusion. And then all that happens is a founding father wakes up. And it was all
fuck this.
And so that was his dream or a nightmare of what could happen if he doesn't sign the Constitution? Like, what? And what? And Gene Okerlund is there? Like, what?
No, if he does sign it, Rob, this is what's going to happen. This is what the Constitution leads to.
But he ends up signing it.
Yeah, the dream didn't work.
Oh,
it's all like some. This is like some bad mutton-inspired episode in his head, like from his bacteria.
It's a syphilitic dream. He had sex with one of his slaves and caught something.
My word. Screw this.
But yeah, that was the video. Now that we've all experienced it, what are some post-viewing reactions? Jordan, anything that you learned on this viewing?
Yeah. It's great. It's awesome.
It's so good. I genuinely love it.
Yeah. It's everything about like Facebook culture that I kind of like love to hate. It's all of that, those types of grievances wrapped up into one, like the mindless consumerism, toilet paper stuff. It's just kind of like hollow criticisms, the Tide Pod thing, Nancy Pelosi not wearing a mask. It's just like these little interstitial outrage cycles all in one video. It's fantastic.
That's like if you take a step back, like what are they really criticizing? Nothing. There's like, what statement does this, like what?
It's like a South Park episode.
Yeah, there's no. It doesn't take a stance. It only is just pointing at things and saying, "Ha ha, this is stupid."
Yeah.
So it is exactly like a South Park episode. The only unifying thing about all these things is caring about things is fucking stupid.
Yeah, pretty
caring
much.
Caring about wearing masks is fucking stupid. Like that kind of stuff.
I want to read a few quotes from Zoltan. This came with the press release for the video, which I added in because I felt it really like, you know, because we have all these questions, maybe Zoltan can answer them. And he says, America is a beautiful idea that draws immigrants like myself. No, I'm not going to do it. That's
come on now.
America is a beautiful idea that draws immigrants like myself from, and also I'm Russian, so I can do that. American is a beautiful idea that draws immigrants like myself from all over the world to the promised land of equality, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The idea is now under siege. By whom? And certain events are starting to remind me of the things that many of us came here to escape. It's not left against right problem, but an evolutionary problem. Like, what is he talking about?
He thinks chimps are going to take over? Is that what that means?
The growing pains of a civilization that without the necessary spiritual enlightenment arrived a bit early to a level of technology where everyone is connected. The good news is now everyone has a voice. The bad news now is everyone has a voice. Oh, so we are living in the manipulator's paradise where liars and hypocrites run unscathed. The news are just opinions. Politics are a blood sport, and facts are determined by the consensus instead of truth. We as artists, however, have a unique opportunity to portray and ridicule the absurd to prevent it from becoming reality.
Okay.
That he said nothing there.
No.
And then he went on to say that the video is not anti-mask, and that like we were putting too much focus on the compliant pin and not the exempt pin. They were trying to point out the exempt thing, like you were saying, Jordan. Like, this is Nancy Pelosi. Like, why are we looking at that? Why are we focusing on the? Go ahead.
The video itself kind of flies in the face of that argument, right? At the third act or whatever of the video is them all kind of waking up and taking off the mask before running into that field, valiantly carrying the American flag. They're all maskless.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is their own framing.
Maybe it actually is pro-mask in a sneaky way, because they're fine when they're wearing the mask, but as soon as they take the mask off, they're all shot to death. So it's dangerous to take off. Keep your mask on.
Kevlar masks. I do want to add, so in the statement, he says, I often say, ask us, the immigrants, talk to us, and we will tell you we were lucky because we had a place to escape to. We are fortunate we could come here. But if America is gone, where will you go? Where is America go? Like, who's taking America away? But then he writes, we as immigrants also remember how our freedom slipped away, how our rights were ripped from us, how we went under the how we were kept under the thumb and in fear of our own governments. So maybe we have valuable experience we can tell you about. We can forewarn you of the things we have seen before. Okay, what are you warning us about? He never says.
Lay it out.
Yeah, lay it out for us. It's like his whole thing is like, you're not getting it. It's like, okay, so explain it to me, right?
Here's your platform. Go ahead.
But then obviously they don't want to do that because – then they're going to be exposed as loons, right? Like, I feel like that's a very cute thing, like, to just be like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Well, that's what being on Nancy Pelosi's chain is, Rob. I mean, they're not – and that's why Ivan Moody has his tattoos covered, because you're not allowed to say the truth because you'll be socially penalized for it. Don't you get it?
I don't.
Okay. Then, now you get it because you don't get it.
I'm just glad Five Finger Death Punch. And the crazy thing about them, though, is they are objectively the largest modern rock band. Like, you know, Slipknot, they're obviously also modern and bigger, but they're from a previous generation. Like, this Five Finger Death Punch is like the newest big band around. So they have huge, like, they actually get radio play. So, like, this video matters in the sense, like, people will see it and it will. Like, some people will be like, hey, you know, some people will share this and be like, hey, guys, thoughts, you know, like, they're going to get a lot of those because, like, people will be like, oh, maybe they're onto something. But I don't want to say anything because I'll be portrayed as a lunatic. So I'm just going to share it and let them do the talking with a thoughts. So that you ever see that on Facebook, so that, like, when somebody calls them out, like, why are you sharing this, like, right wing bullshit? Like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not saying I agree with it. I just think they bring like many interesting points to the forefront, and maybe we should talk about it. Why don't you stop jumping to conclusions?
And it's always something right wing too. It's always like, I'm just starting a conversation about why there are only two genders. I just wasn't making that point.
Well, before we let you go, Jordan, I feel like we need to, as a public service, we need you to see this. I'm sure you're familiar with Testament, And I don't know if you know the guitarist, Alex Kolnick. You know, he's on the left. He's a Biden supporter. And recently he's been starting a new career as a rapper, as a hip hopper.
Okay.
And he's been doing some hip hop tracks, and he recently released a new one. And, you know, we agree with the message very much so. Oh, and this one, we can share the audio. Let me.
Scully D. Oh my God. He's giving himself a rap name now.
Giving himself somebody else's rap name. There already is a Scully D.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
I'm getting a little too wild with the screen share. Here we go. All right. Here we go. You guys can hear it?
Yes.
Great. Yeah.
Oh,
this is from Revenge of the Nerds. Clap your hands, everybody. And everybody, clap your hands.
Rick, okay, other than all of those,
hold
other
on.
Than all of those
I love
rhyming.
Hamilton. This is awesome.
Lynn really outdid himself.
Yeah.
Like, what is he saying other than rhyming words? Nothing.
Oh man.
But bless his heart. Let's do it.
Conciliation.
I also want to point out he uses his iPad as a visual device to have photos of certain things he's commenting on as he's rapping. To keep
I
it
also
fresh.
I want to point out something else that he did not do in the Trump video, which is now he's doing a little sidebar about what a good rapper he is. Like the last one was just all about Trump. Now he's doing like the bravado thing. Like, you
well,
know what I mean?
I think also it's because he got so much positive feedback. Like, yeah, you tell him, Alex, but I think it's kind of like cheering your uncle on when they're dancing at the wedding. Like, you get it. Good job.
He got all the same 40,000 commenters from Randy Rainbow videos. They all migrated to his video.
See, he even shouts out his previous number. He's getting this hip-hop thing down.
Yeah, everything except knowing how to rap. He's got it.
It sounds like, musically, it sounds like that one song on every NWA album that you would skip. It's like they're great albums, but then they have the one where they get a little too jazzy. You're like, all right, they were probably very drunk in the studio. I'll allow it, but I'm not going to listen to it every time.
Yeah, if your liberal uncle covered that song, this is what it would sound
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God.
Here we go.
He's just going to name drop everything that's on George Takei's Twitter feed now.
Well, so the hook is him doing a Dr. Fauci voice. Yeah.
Now it's "I'm the Man" by Anthrax. I can't. All right, enough.
Okay, I think we like. You're
oh
right.
Oh my God.
I bet a lot of you taxes. Thought I would never start this. And what about Ukraine Gate with the notorious Lev Parnas?
That's so much better than anything he had. Like that. Oh my God. Look, I'll give Five Finger Death Punch. That's like that, their song was at least great.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, that was compared to this. It's just, I was ready for that to be over.
I write so many wonderful licks. I'd never get COVID from Hope Hicks.
Oh my God.
Every obscure name that only like obsessed Twitter libs know about.
Oh my God.
Nobody ever heard of in life. Terrible.
He needs to get back out on the road. This is really all this tells us.
Trump needs to read a book and get more denser. I'm talking to you like a presentation from Sean Spencer. Damn,
all right.
I'm done.
Oh.
I just wanted a Sean Spencer reference, but I really
who's
really
Sean Spencer?
Sean
you
Spicer.
Just combined
Spicer.
It. I ruined it. I ruined
doesn't
it
rhyme
so
with
many
Jesse.
Levels.
Sorry, Rob.
I'm dismissed. So, you know what? It really shows me how difficult this is. Alex, you're much better than I.
Rob, that was still better than his rap. I'm sorry. He had more rhythm, even though you fucked the rhyme up. He's got the rhythm and the rhyme, but he actually has the rhythm.
But I agree with his message. Wear a fucking mask.
Right. It's like Mark B. The rest of the underlying meaning is there. The delivery is terrible.
All right. Well,
Jordan, I'm sorry. I don't want to keep you here forever. I did want to ask you one quick thing, if you got a second.
Sure.
You retweeted a thing about one of our favorite things. We haven't really talked about it on the show, but privately in chats. Max Rose.
Oh, my God.
Insane.
Oh.
Max Rose's seat. I want to know if you give a couple of thoughts on that.
I live in the district where that election is going on, so it's like wall-to-wall 24/7 ads for him and Maliotakis.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's rough.
So I don't like Max Rose, you know, for lots of reasons. One of them is which
he's a Democrat. I do want to say.
Yes, he is, and I think sure.
The Staten Island Democrat means like Republican, really.
Yeah, but he's also running a wildly different campaign than he ran in 2018. Like now he's like taking shots at de Blasio and just like you know really catering and hard tacking to the right of some friends, and I think he's just going to pull what Jeff Van Drew did and just switch parties. I could easily see that happening, but he prides himself on being a troop and has been attacking AOC recently, saying she's a limousine liberal.
Oh, wow.
And it stems from an argument or a spat or whatever you want to call it over the Twitch recruiting amendment that she had introduced. And that it was like inspired by some reporting that I had done for The Nation, where I found that the military was recruiting kids on Twitch. So long story short, she introduced an amendment into as they were doing a defense appropriations bill to say, you know what, we should probably defund this. This is like, you know, probably illegal, violating like international guidelines around children in the military. And he went to the New York Post as this was being debated and said this is like a limousine liberal thing.
Wow.
Where she thinks that troops are too dumb to kind of know what they're doing, what they're signing up for. And it was very clear that he didn't know what he was talking about, because this was about – it was just about kids 13 to 16 on Twitch being tricked into signing recruiting forms, thinking they were signing up for a giveaway to win an Xbox controller. So, you know, don't like him for many reasons. That's one of them. And that limousine liberal thing stems from the troop spat. It's a terrible, terrible guy.
If people don't know, like, for every 3 seconds on television right now in New York, no matter what district you're in, you will see an anti-Max Rose commercial where they argue that he's basically Antifa marching in BLM protests.
Yes.
They have the lineup cops and families of cops to say what a piece of shit he is. And then the exact next commercial is Max Rose comes out and he goes, "Oh, no, I assure you, I love Donald Trump. And I hate Antifa and will throw them into vans to the best of my ability."
Well, specifically, he loved that Donald Trump killed that Iranian general. Because right, when you kill an American soldier, we kill you.
With a caption, "We kill you." Like yeah. the text comes on.
So he's a five-finger death punch fan.
Oh, 100%.
He has to be.
But then all the ads are attacking him from the right. You know, like he has an even loonier.
Well, that's Staten Island, man.
You're
either a Republican or you're in the Wu-Tang Clan. There's no in between.
I mean, just jokes aside, though, I really feel like that dynamic of, no, you're left wing. No, no, no. The left guy says, no, I swear I'm right wing, is part of what contributes to making Staten Island shitty the way it is. I mean, maybe if you had somebody who was viable, who could run for office that was actually left, they would get a message out there and break into that cesspool somewhat. But it's just an endless cycle of, no, I hate Antifa. No, I fucking hate Antifa. And that just snowballs. And then
they clearly think that this is the only kind of Democrat who could get elected there.
I think at this moment, that's probably true. Yeah. But I think if we could ever break into that, maybe, you know, I'm optimistic about that. You
know? I mean, I don't live in Staten Island, just so we're clear. I don't want that stigma attached to me. Max Rose's district also covers parts of Brooklyn, and that's where I live.
You live right over the bridge.
I could see the fucking bridge from my window. It's terrifying.
You're basically in Staten Island.
He,
to be real.
Sid is as close to Staten Island as Sarah Palin is as close to Russia. So
yeah.
Just to put it in
perspective. That's true. So I will say our city councilman, our state senator where I live are all Democrats. So we are dragging Staten Island to the left.
You are as close as it's possible to be to Staten Island without being in Staten Island.
Yeah. Justin Brannon is our city councilman, former hardcore guitarist.
So we'll play. I want to play this ad because it's so great that you showed me before we went on, and then we'll let you go, Jordan. You got to see. This is the type of wonderful ads we get on our local ad buys. My favorite couple. Oh, look at this guy's hair.
Wow.
I can't get over it.
Wow. Look at his face. And that face just says, it's my wife. What do you want me to do?
Yeah.
she's
I'm not a political guy, but you know.
She's a firecracker.
Wow.
Yeah.
He forwarded me some Alex Skolnick rap about Trump. I got so mad. You wouldn't believe.
Take it easy. All right. Well, Jordan, thank you so much for your time. Definitely follow Jordan on Twitter. He's a great follow. He shares a lot of great stuff. Keeps all of us informed. Jordan, how do you pronounce your last name? Probably.
You.
I got it. Jordan, UHL is the handle. And you do some Twitch stuff too, right? You do a little gaming with some hardcore folks.
Yeah. I haven't streamed in a while, but I mean, I play on their streams as well. Some guys from Knocked Loose and Counterparts and Stray and Stig. And we've been on Among Us lately. Over the past few days, we've been playing a lot of Magic the Gathering because we're nerds and no one can leave the house. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We've got a group called Swear Jar TV. You can find us on YouTube. They do playthroughs. Like Kevin from Knocked Loose has been doing a lot of base streams. More to come. More to come on that front.
A huge gaming contingent in our Discord that may love.
Yeah. Oh yeah, perfect. Yeah,
and I hear AOC wants to do some gaming. She wants to hop on the Twitch.
She's streaming tonight.
Yeah.
So I have to work the next few hours to around that. Her and Ilhan and Hassan and Pokimane and a lot of other streamers are doing a big Among Us Get Out the Vote stream tonight at 9:00.
Awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for your time, Jordan. It's been awesome finally having you on the show. Please come back anytime there's a five-figure death punch video or any other video that you want to talk about.
Alex Skolnick.
Of course. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I had a blast. I appreciate it.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you.
Huge pleasure. All
right. See you guys.
Later, man. That was Jordan. Pleasure to talk to him. And before we move on, I do want to take a moment to talk about the killer new release from Enslaved. Listening to this a bunch ever since it was released earlier this month. Their 15th album, Utgard.
It's out now.
And the originators of the Norse-themed progressive black metal return to explore the limits of the subconscious realm. Mixed by Jens Borgen, who's also worked with Opeth and Catatonia. You will love this album. If you like Enslaved, you're going to dig it. And not even the gods of Asgard dare follow Enslaved to Utgard. Will you visit nuclearblast.com for CD and vinyl Utgard? I like saying that. Utgard. Say it at home. Utgard. It's like
Utgard.
It's good. It rolls off the tongue. Utgard.
Can we get Alex Skolnick to say it?
Rhyme the rhythm of the rhyme of Utgard.
I dare him to rhyme that. He's the rhyme master. Rhymes Fauci. Did he rhyme Fauci? Maybe not.
He must have at some point.
I don't know if it was necessarily at the end of the sentence.
Grouchy Fauci.
Yeah.
Something.
Utgard is the next level up. I want to stop on Trump's face. I want to get a boot guard.
Could we have Alex on the show to talk us through his process?
No. You guys will be mean.
No, I'll mute myself when I laugh.
No.
I won't be mean, I promise. I'll be could neutral. I'm not going to kiss his ass, but I'll be neutral.
Could Metal Injection do a feature where it's Ivan Moody and Alex Skolnick interviewing each other about their recent work?
Well, I don't think Ivan Moody will.
Zoltan.
Can
we get Zoltan?
I've actually met Zoltan, and he's a nice guy. Like,
is he the one with like the dread beard?
No, that's Chris. Also a nice guy.
That's probably why he won't wear a mask. Can you get one on when you got a fucking dread beard? Can you get one on your face?
I mean, you just have to cover your mouth. Your dreads can be hanging.
I don't know.
It
seems like it would be unwieldy.
I mean, if the last 10 years revealed anything, it's that like nice people can be nice people and have ridiculous opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, and I think, on a certain level, without being like too reactive, like it's very like I think what they're like posting this video is kind of dangerous, you know, like because like we said, like they're affecting people's opinions and they're giving them incorrect information as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, like if they made a video that said like go outside and start fires, you know, I mean, you could argue like, okay, sure, people still have to take their initiative to go out and start fires. You know, it's not like the gaming argument where like people play games and they become violent, but it's still a shitty thing to say. Like you're encouraging shitty behavior. That's not a guarantee they're going to go do it, but it's shitty and it's reaching a lot of people.
Who was the director of the video?
Lars von Trier. I told you.
Let me look it up.
Imagine it's really Lars von Trier.
Listen, everybody's got to make money during the pandemic somehow.
I would look like a fucking genius if that actually my joke came true.
Nick Peterson is the director.
Oh, Nick. I know him. Good guy.
So maybe it's really his philosophy getting in there and Five Finger
Death Punch. No, I think it's Zoltan's. I think it's
he wrote
like
the treatment.
Yeah, it's his idea. Okay, so I see now. So this guy, director also did Tommy Lee's video, a video for Tommy Lee. That says a lot. Star Set. Basically, he's like done all the Five Finger Death Punch videos. Bad Wolves.
He shot that Tommy Lee video we watched where he's behind the scenes looking at the dailies of his video. He shot
it.
Well,
Fred Durst did those videos.
Yeah,
he shot the behind the scenes.
He shot Fred Durst looking at through a camera.
They consider him the sixth finger.
He's the Pete Best of Five Finger Death Punch.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, Five Finger Death Punch went through a whole lineup change. Like they, in the last year, their drummer and their guitarist left the band or were kicked out or who knows.
He become a cop or something?
No, not enough.
Right, yeah, the old drummer became, he wasn't a cop, but he became like, you know, like one of those cops without a gun, like security or some shit.
Okay.
And then he stopped that, and now he's in a terrible, like he launched a terrible new band called Psychosexual.
Oh, no.
And he basically dresses up as the devil, like in red face and everything.
Oh, that during performances?
Yes.
Oh, for
like, again, I don't want to play audio, but I'll.
Has Dave Mustaine weighed in on this? On this appearance of the devil, how accurate it is and how beautiful.
Well, clearly it's red, so I don't think he'd be happy with it.
Yeah.
Oh, here you could like kind of.
There's a burning cross. Great.
This is what he's up to now.
Oh, boy.
Just a devil in a church.
Is that a mask or is that face paint?
It's a little bit of both.
Oh, boy. It's a woman's butt.
That is not accurate.
Like here, you can kind of get a better.
Oh, he looks like the John Lovitz devil from SNL.
Yes.
He's very beautiful.
Oh my God.
Except he didn't paint his face.
He really does. Oh.
Hey, be my willing thrall. So wow. Darren, what happened with you? You said you had a story to share.
Oh yeah, well, it had been about a year since I had done any sports officiating because of COVID, and I got a couple of offers during like the peak of this pandemic.
Oh God!
From these like South Brooklyn softball leagues that are full of Trump supporters and run by Trump supporters, and they're nice guys. I'm not going to sit here and, like, you know, I only deal with them in terms of softball. So in that capacity, I have a good working relationship with them. But every now and then they'll say or do something really stupid, and they open their leagues like in May and in June, they were having softball games. So I clearly declined. I even asked them.
And in May, I just want to point out, in May, the shit was hitting the fan in New York.
It may have not have been May, actually. It may have been like whenever they opened parks, whenever that was, because the whole timeline is a blur for me.
I see. Yeah.
Whenever they opened,
they weren't breaking the law.
They weren't breaking in to do games, right? I'm saying it was when shit was still hitting the fan.
Yeah.
So I asked them in a cursory way, like, I knew the answer, and I knew I wasn't doing it. I was just curious. What are you doing for precautions? And the guy goes, nothing, you know. I could put you out in the field only and not behind the plate, so you're not near to catch it. That's about it. I was like, no, thanks. I just passed. And I forgot about it, you know. And then a couple of weeks ago, this guy, a different guy who runs a legit league, he also runs part of the Manhattan games for the girls softball league, high school girls. And he's a legit guy. And he said, I'm working with this league. They're a hipster league. Everybody's woke. Like, they're all concerned with masks. They wouldn't do it if it wasn't. Everyone's going to get thermometered when they walk up. It's going to be in McCarran Park. And it's going to
all have their compliant pins.
Yes. Their Soviet Union hammer and sickle pins. And so I agreed to do it, basically, is the upshot of this. I went there. It looked legit. It looked safe. I was ready to turn around and walk out. But it was very safe. Everyone was into wearing the masks. Like, someone's mask slipped. They were like, oh, my gosh. They pulled the mask right up, right? So, anyway, here's what happened. I get there, and a friend of mine who I know Rob knows, and maybe Sid possibly knows. His name is Keith. I don't need to explain any more than that. But he's a very odd individual.
He's a man's man.
He's about 350 pounds at this point.
Oh, wow.
He has a scraggly beard that stuck out of his mask in all eight directions. All eight compass points had gray beard sticking out of it, if you can picture this. And, you know, he's doing his game. I walk up. I'm doing the next three games. He did the previous three. And he sees me, and he goes, oh, Darren, what's up? And I was like, I'll talk to you in a minute when the inning is over. Okay. Finally, comes over to me. And we start talking. He's like, wow, you look great. You lost so much weight and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, I can't really say the same for
like,
you.
Like, yeah, you gained it all.
He did. So, and I said, but I said something about, well, you could lose weight if you do this or whatever. He pulls his shirt up to his neck level and exposes his giant fish belly. He's like, I got this hernia. It's hard for me to lose weight. He's got a second stomach on above his navel on top of his first stomach. And I'm standing there horrified. And this is in the middle of a game while he's working.
You're just getting flashed.
A field full of people, okay, lifts the shirt up, exposes his pregnant belly. And he's like, oh, I got to go back to work. Go back to work. Pulls his shirt down. He goes back. He starts working again. Finally, the game ends, right? I'm sitting there waiting. I'm, you know, stretching out, whatever. He comes over to me again. We're talking. You know, he keeps inching towards me. He sees that I'm backing up. He's determined to get inside my 6 feet of COVID space. He's like, so, yeah, so. And I'm, like, backing up like this. Oh, yeah, that's really interesting, you know. Okay. Finally, I think he finally picked up the signal, and he stopped, like, moving towards me. I was running out of park. And this guy walks by us. He's got a Mets shirt on. Okay, one of the players that was in the game. Hmm. And he's – it was the day that the Yankees had lost. It was the day after the Yankees lost.
Nice.
So we kind of commiserate about that. Like, oh yeah, Yankees suck. Waha. And he's like, yeah, it's great. This fucking Chapman, he's a wife abuser. That's one of their players that shot a gun off, pointed near his wife and got in trouble. And he's like, then he goes, yeah, but you know, the Mets have had a few of those, you know, we had Reyes and we had so-and-so Familia. And then Keith says, yeah, it's all the fucking Ecuadorians.
Like, what?
So the guy immediately freezes. I told you this is a very woke league. So he's like a 20-something millennial, you know, woke guy, kid. His face completely freezes, turns around, takes his bag, and walks out. And I'm like,
he leaves?
What?
Like the
he
park?
Leaves. Well, he was leaving anyway. He was on his way out.
Also, could we just say none of the players you talked about are from Ecuador?
Racist and inaccurate.
Yeah.
So I said to him, you know, you're at work. You know that, right? Like, this is a job. And you're standing next to me. Like, they're not going to go and lodge a complaint and say, Keith so-and-so said this. They're going to say the fucking umpires were talking to me.
Yeah.
And what a bunch of racist pricks they are. So now you just put me in that soup with you. What the fuck is wrong with you? He's like, oh, my bad, my bad. I didn't even think it. You didn't think saying all these fucking Ecuadorians to a softball player you just did a game for was a bad idea? Okay, whatever. See you later, Keith. Like, I go over, I start working, right? And I put it out of my mind, you know. And he stays there. He goes around. He's watching the game. He's got no life. He's standing there watching the game for the first couple of innings. And I'm like, please don't say anything else. Please don't say anything else. Like, just shut up. Don't indicate that I know you. I'm doing my game. Inning ends. Hey, Derek, come over here. Oh, fuck. All right, here we go. I go over to him at the gate, through the chain link gate here. And I go, what's up? He says, man, I wish I was doing your game. I wish I was doing your game.
Oh, no.
I said, why? He's like, these fucking girls, man. Holy shit. All the girls in my fucking game were butt ugly. You see that girl over there? I could see her fucking pussy lips. So she's wearing yoga pants. And did you ever know when someone does, like, they try to do the hushed voice when they're talking to you because they're telling you a secret?
Uh-huh.
He's doing somehow, I don't know how, he's doing the hushed voice, but still talking at the top of his lungs.
Darren.
Oh my God.
Her pussy lips. Oh my God. I can see the whole outline of her fucking pussy lips.
Oh.
And I'm like, why do you think I want to? First of all, even if I wasn't working, why do you think I want to have this discussion with you? Have I ever, like, reciprocated and said, yes, look at that girl's pussy lips over there. Never. Like, what makes you think? I think he just goes up to people and says things about pussy lips and Ecuadorians. I think it's just his thing. He's like, he's not.
That would be the episode title.
Yes, if this is 2008, that would be the episode title 100%.
Yes, you're probably right. So, like, I'm just at this point, like, I just nod my head and I go, sure, whatever, you know, pussy lips. And then he finally mercifully leaves. And now I've just been waiting for the other shoe to drop to get a thing like, hey, were you talking about pussy lips and Ecuadorians beat their wives habitually at your game? But I haven't heard anything, so thank goodness.
These people that, like, want to talk to you about, like, sexual stuff like that, it's like, I never understood. It's like, do you want to, like, go with me somewhere and we could, like, jerk off together? Like, why are you talking to me about this? Like,
do
you expect this to lead?
I could see that. Like, if I had reciprocated, that may have been his way of cracking the door ajar somehow.
Yeah.
To where we'd have a circle jerk.
Let's go behind that big tree over there. Nobody will see it. We'll just jerk off about those pussy lips. Like, what is he thinking? It's so, I don't understand.
You know, now you're making me wonder if he was jerking off while I was paying attention to the game.
Probably was.
I've known Keith for, like, I should have used a pseudonym probably. But I don't think he'll ever hear this. It is real name is Keith. But, Rob knows him. I probably known him even longer than Rob. He's not a real friend to either of us, but he just knows certain people we know.
Like, how I would describe Keith is he is a terrible person, but he is so funny sometimes, like genuinely hilarious, that it almost, like, supersedes how much of an asshole he is.
Well, you forget.
You forget, and then he does something. I mean, like, I haven't honestly interacted with him now in maybe over 10 years, like 12 years at least. So I don't know. But, like, I just remember he would be a great heel to root for.
He just has he has absolutely zero. Like, I don't even legitimately think he's overtly racist. Like, I don't at all. Like, he plays on a million softball teams with all people of different races, and he's good friends with them. I think he just has no fucking filter. Like, he has a stupid thought. And it comes right out of his mouth. And it's impossible for him to rein it in. He even realizes it. When you tell him you just said something really fucking stupid, he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Yeah. The one thing I do remember about Keith is a few years ago, I guess, I don't know where Jennifer was, but she had to work, I think, on Valentine's Day, or she was out off somewhere doing a gala on Valentine's Day. So I was by myself. And she may have been away with her family, and he somehow contacted me. He's like, I got no girlfriend. I'm miserable. Like, I want to just, everyone's out on Valentine's Day. You want to hang out? And I said, yeah, sure, you know, sure. We made plans to go. And we went to a Chinese buffet, like one of those sad Chinese buffets in Brooklyn. And we got he got a cake with a little heart on it.
Oh, no.
So I was kind of his Valentine's Day date, I think, unwittingly.
So, yeah, he definitely wants to jerk off with you.
It's possible, yeah.
That removes all doubt.
I didn't think of it that way. You've sort of made me have an awakening about that moment.
It's the Great Awakening.
Oh,
that could be an episode title, but you don't want that attention.
Yeah, cue, I guess you're saying.
Oh.
That
wow.
Could be LGBTQ, and I would support him.
LGBTQ went on.
Maybe he's
probably he's at the most B, I would say, if you're talking about pussy lips.
Or it could be B, or it could be G, and in the closet and trying to cover by talking about pussy lips.
Yeah, it's true.
Are you a G in the closet? Wanted to talk to us about pussy lips? Give us a ring a ding ding 213 wide nut 3943 3688. I do also want to mention, if you want yourself more live cast than you can handle, well, you can handle all of it on your own time by joining our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For $5 a month, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. We've been doing a year of bonus episodes, about two a month. And this month, our two episodes, we just posted a watch along of Cannibal Holocaust, which was the most disgusting and not in a good way movie I've ever seen. And
as I like to call it, Disco Cannibal Holocaust.
And we also posted Trick or Treat earlier in the month, which was a more of a lighter romp with Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne cameos.
It's not hard to be lighter than Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
And we do watch-alongs of both of those, so two Halloween-themed watch-alongs. And then why is half my head being cut off now? I don't like that.
Spookier.
And then what else? What did we do in previous months, Darren?
We did watch-alongs. We've done a million watch-alongs. So probably my favorite. Oh, the Round Table of Bubba Hotep is one that we never mentioned. I want to make sure. We did also the one. The name of this is escaping me now. The one with Macaulay Culkin's brother as Euronymous. What's the name?
Oh,
of
and not until Lords of Chaos.
Lords of Chaos. Yeah, I always forget the name of that, but that one's great. That's the one was so ripe with comedy. Fantastic.
Yeah. Did we do a watch along of that, or
we did a round table of that.
Round table, right? Sorry.
Yeah.
The round table was of the other Euronymous.
The Dirt.
Oh, the Dirt, Motley Crue.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, the other watch along we did of Until the Light Takes Us, which was the documentary.
Yeah.
That was released like 10 years before, where it was essentially, we soon came to learn, it was essentially Varg's side of the story, which is like, yeah, we really needed that.
But we did need it. Cause
I mean, we did. It was very interesting to watch, but it was, I feel, a little glorifying of Varg. And they didn't provide a good enough counterbalance to just his freewheeling opinion. But then at the same time, it's like maybe that's all they wanted.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Varg Vanity Project. Oh, what was the other one I was just going to say? Now it's flipped my mind. Oh, Verotica.
Yes. Danzig Verotica.
Yes, that is a great episode for sure.
We went to Tat Steaks.
Oh, yeah.
Almost a year ago.
We never bring this up. We should say we went to Tad Steaks, ate there, and gave a full review of the meal. And we also have video footage of us interacting with other Tad Steaks patrons who are similarly horrified and waiting to use the bathroom.
Yeah, and then there's footage of Darren in the bathroom.
Right. The reason we even went to Tad Steaks was as sort of an homage to when I destroyed their bathroom, taking a shit in the toilet, or rather on and around the toilet. Very little shit actually went inside of it. I went to their bathroom to record and give a walkthrough of what actually happened.
Yeah.
Did not shit in the second in the video, but I reenacted the shit. Basically.
That's a different Patreon tier if you want to get video of Darren taking a shit.
Weirdly, we haven't had anyone opt into that tier yet. Surprisingly.
One day.
No one wants to see me shit. I'm hurt by that.
Aw. Well, what would the angle be? Would it
whatever
be like
they want? If they're a paying customer, I'll shit at any angle.
Odell Beckham, are you listening? We can make this happen. We know you're into it. Let's go.
He's into girls doing it. He doesn't want to.
Wait, what? What is this? Who is Odell Beckham?
He's a football player.
And what did he do?
Cleveland Browns, formerly of the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact story, but he commented on a stream or something or a radio.
No,
show?
Some like I guess like some groupie or like something. Someone who had a female who had hooked up with him was on some podcast and talked about how he was asking her to film herself shitting and
no,
send him the video.
He well that too. I'm not saying that didn't happen, but he admitted it. I mean, he was on a show somewhere and did a callback to that. Like,
oh really?
I love shitting on girls or vice versa. You know, I love when girls take a shit.
Oh, that part I didn't see.
Like,
I just
he basically
the...
confirmed it. Like
okay,
someone was talking about shitting on people, and he.
I mean,
hey. Oh fuck yeah.
You know what? I don't kink shame. If that's what he's into, he's
not
hurting anybody.
I wasn't shaming. I mean, it's just I think it's an interesting topic to talk about, though. I was just offering it as a Patreon tier. How am I shaming?
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying I wouldn't kink shame if that's what he's into.
Yeah.
Live your life, honey.
It is a little bit of a messy kink. Not knocking it morality-wise.
Sure.
I'm knocking it practicality-wise.
Sure, I agree. I feel like scat in general. I haven't got into golden showers. I'll watch it for the science. Doesn't really do anything for me.
For the science.
Well, just like curious, like what is like how are they, like also like the embarrassment kind
but
of.
But wait! Explain the science. You veered away instantly. What's the science? That
oh,
you're
I just
watching
mean like I'm not
for?
Like jerking off to it. I'm just curious about it.
I see.
It's someone peeing. What
on somebody else?
Yeah,
it's a little different than peeing. Let's be real.
I suppose.
Mean,
yeah, they're not. It's not actual pee.
Part.
I mean, they're like downing a gallon of water and then like.
Oh, they're drinking it too? That's like
no, no, no. I mean, I've seen like people have their mouth open while the fountain is
How
being
many
drained.
Piss videos have you watched?
This week, I don't have a library of them. You come across a related video here and there, and it's like, oh,
I'm not kink shaming you, Rob.
Well, someone who was very much kink shamed recently is a former New Yorker reporter, Jeffrey Toobin. Who was caught masturbating on a Zoom call. Did you guys hear about this? Did you hear about this one? So there's
yes,
Jeffrey Toobin. Okay, so
one of the responding tweets to this was my initial opinion too, which is how has this not happened yet before?
Yeah, I mean maybe it hasn't. People just kept their mouth shut about it.
Yeah,
maybe it has, but
it hasn't happened in the media realm where someone would go to Vice and like leak the story.
Yeah.
So two people who were on the call say that this was like a company-wide Zoom meeting, and they were doing a what were they doing here?
They were doing like a mock election.
Yes, and then it's unclear how much each person saw, but both said they saw Toobin jerking off. The two sources described the juncture in the election simulation. That they were doing an election simulation. A juncture in the election simulation when there was a strategy session and the Democrats and Republicans went into their respective breakout rooms for about 10 minutes.
He broke something out, all right.
At this point, they said it seemed like Toobin was on a second video call. Sources said that when the groups returned from their breakout rooms, Toobin lowered the camera. The people on the call said that they could see Toobin touching his penis. Toobin then left the call. Moments later, he called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see, and the simulation continued. And he's been suspended, and he said, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake, believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, my family, my friends and coworkers. I believed I was not visible on Zoom. I thought no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom video. I didn't know you could mute video.
Yeah, that's not how it works, sir.
So let's say, so let's extrapolate from that. Does he think that if he was jerking off with no sound, that it would have been okay?
Well, I think he was saying I tried to disable the video feed.
He's he doesn't even know the right word.
Let me. That sounds just like a Louis C.K. thing to me. I think he's lying. I think that he's
he wanted to get caught.
He wanted to, I don't know if he wanted to get caught. He wanted to be seen because it's very obvious on Zoom when you're sharing video and not sharing video. I mean, it's very clear. Yes, it's like the button. It lights up when you are sharing video, and it's like a big red X when you're not sharing video.
No.
Yeah, I guess there's a
you just did that, Rob?
Yeah, I just wanted to
I thought we lost you.
Wait, Rob, were you jerking off?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then half a second.
But, like, also, there's three of us on this call right now, so it's extremely obvious. Like, if there were 30 people on that call, his box might have been so small that he couldn't tell one way or the other.
But, no, they were in a breakout room, he said. Right?
No, he wasn't in the breakout room.
Oh, okay.
Breakout room is like a sub room that people go into. So they'll leave the main room and go into like their own private room to like confer.
Right.
So he was still in the main room. So I guess he was on break and he thought, man, I could just squeeze one out.
Maybe like he thought like if I mute and then click to another tab, then I'm just not in there. And so he clicked to his porn tab and started pounding it off real quick. Like, me and Rob were talking about this offline, and it's like maybe his favorite ChatterBait performer had signed in for the first time in, like, a month.
That's what, like, we were trying to analyze, like, who in the middle of a large Zoom meeting just has to, like, break out and, like, you know, squeeze one out in the middle of, like, such boring, trivial fucking, like, a simulation that he was a part of. So it's like, like, what would have caused him to have to jerk off at that very moment?
Well,
either he got a notification that a ChatterBait model that he hasn't seen in a long time has signed on, and he needed to see her right that moment.
Well, because, like, for the previous hour, she was fully dressed and just, like, talking to the people chatting. And then finally she was getting down to business, and it's like, this is my window.
So you can't, like, there's no, like, something similar to DVR on ChatterBait where you can watch it later?
There is no DVR.
I mean,
maybe
I
if you have a deluxe account. I don't know.
But you guys are glossing over the other possibility, which is that he just jerks off 22 and a half hours of every day and can't stop. I feel like that's much more likely.
I guess. I mean, at that age, how do you have the stamina?
Have you ever encountered a man before?
Viagra.
Fucking do. They can go. They are horny until they're 80 years old, and then they drop into the grave horny.
He's 60,
with a boner.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fair. I mean, hey, he's almost twice my age, a little less than twice my age. So
he just needs to be grateful nobody screen capped that shit.
That's true.
Because it's bad enough that a handful of coworkers saw it. If somebody grabbed it and then posted it on fucking Twitter.
Maybe he wanted it screen capped. I mean, he didn't seem too concerned about turning his fucking video off.
If you're not aware of technology, do not masturbate while on Zoom.
that's
my advice.
That's what gets me, is that I don't even like, I'm paranoid that like a pair of my dirty drawers is going to get on the video of our live cast, like to the point where half an hour after the show is over, I still don't do anything that I don't want to see.
Just in case Rob is still watching you.
Let alone jerking off.
Yeah.
Alone, jerking off wouldn't even enter into it. Let alone the smallest thing that I wouldn't want seen on here. I don't do until like Thursday night.
I can't even a 48-hour grace period just in case.
Yes, in case
I can't even imagine
camera
like,
malfunction.
I can't even imagine having the psyche to just have the 10 minutes to like. All right, I'm gonna like pound this out and then just go back to like, if I'm masturbating, I need a break after. I don't want to do anything for like the next, you have like a 10 minute hangover or whatever after. How do you just go right back to like doing a political simulation?
Well, that is a good point. And I would also extend it the other way, which is to say, not only do I need a cool down period, I would need a self-care. Like, I need, you know, I'm like sort of like rose petals on my bed type of thing when I want to do that. Do you understand what I mean? Like, I not literally.
Light
but
some
I,
candles.
I want to get into it. I don't want to fucking whip out my dick and jerk off while there's a discussion about Nancy Pelosi and the fucking COVID bill, and I'm jerking off during that.
I mean, another thought is that one of the other people on the call was someone he's attracted to, and maybe was showing a little skin, and he's like, "Well, when's the next? I'm never in the office with her anymore. When's the next chance I'm going to have to?"
Chris Saliza. Showing a little ankle in that suit.
How did we not think that? You're totally right. It seems like the most plausible one now that we're talking about it.
But all right, now let's cover the next issue with this thing. Okay, we already said, how did he not turn his camera off? How is he so horny that he has to do this at this exact time? Here's the third thing. Okay, let's just say he has to jerk off. All right, let's just take that as a given. He needs to jerk off at this exact second. For some reason, he can't turn his camera off. Okay, let's also grant that hypothetical. Why can't he tilt his camera away from his penis so that his jerking off activity is below the hemisphere of the camera's visibility range?
So that's why I think he thought his camera was off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he wanted
to be seen.
Is it possible that he had a separate Zoom session going with maybe his wife or whatever, and they were like sort of pounded it out with each other, and he thought he was visible on that one but not the work one?
Again, that leaves so many questions.
Maybe he is the chatterbait model, and he was trying to make a few bucks during his break from his other job.
He saw it was high peak activity on chatterbait at that moment.
Yeah, we don't know what time of day it was.
His lovance was going off like crazy. People were tipping him, and it was vibrating. He had to put a show on.
Is it a love sense?
I thought so, but I think it's spelled without that S, which is very confusing.
They had the gall to schedule this.
Oh, you're right.
New York Times call at the time when he had high chatterbait activity.
Yeah, so he's still got to make his money.
You mentioned the love ends. I do want to briefly discuss, because I am amazed at the brilliance in technology. So this is a smart sex toy. We might have mentioned something like this previously on the show.
But a live read for them.
Well, can I just say Deuterino just cut in saying, Rob, didn't you jerk off at a toilet at work? And Deuterino, no, Rob did not jerk off into a toilet at work. He jerked off at his fucking desk.
No one was around.
At that point.
No one was around. There was no webcam on my my computer
that you know of.
Yeah.
Right. I never
Russian
off.
Bot somewhere is still jerking off to that
in a bathroom.
They've got compromat on Rob in case he ever goes into politics. It's the P tape of the Pez body P tape.
But the love ends. So it's a Bluetooth device where you can control the sex toy from either an app or in terms of these webcam models through token distribution. Like if somebody tips you, it will vibrate the sex toy, which whoever came up with that, there needs to be some version of a Nobel Peace Prize that they get, because that is fucking next level capitalism right there.
I love that you're explaining what it is to our listeners as if each and every one of them doesn't know exactly what it is.
Well, some people aren't up on the cam culture.
I suppose.
Thanks for revealing that, Rob.
You're welcome.
Alex Golnick, he needs to know. He still gets issues of Penthouse delivered to his house. He's analog.
Dear Penthouse, my name is Alex, and I'm here to say today is a really unusual day. Never thought this would happen to me. I had a threesome in the rest stop on Route 63.
Penthouse form isn't a thing anymore. He's still sending letters. He's like, I don't know why they don't print my shit.
Well, he's doing raps from 1985. You might as well read porn from 1985.
Yeah.
Schooly D. I can't believe he did Schooly D. Schooly D was a rapper.
Yeah, well, that's why he did it. But, what does the D stand for with Alex? It's...
Dipshit.
Yeah.
Democrat?
Yeah, I guess.
Void of talent.
That's not true. He's very talented
at rapping.
At certain things.
It's his rap name. He's devoid of rap talent.
Yeah.
I didn't say he can't play the fucking guitar.
Well, we're going to wind it down. I do want to read a quick piece of hate mail. You can always send us hate mail. Hatemail@metalinjection.net is the email address. You can send us a traditional email. You could record a voice memo, record a video even. Send us that. That would be nice. And we'll read it on the air. And Rob, two B's, writes in about our Patreon episode about Cannibal Holocaust. And he said that the he noted that the turtle this is a bit of a spoiler, but the turtle getting I don't want to give the details.
It's a teaser. It's not a spoiler. It'll make them watch it.
Well, just the turtle getting annihilated, let's say. I don't want to give the specifics of how.
There's
Rob
some horrific acts done to a turtle.
Yes.
Yes. He says they traumatized Rob for many years. Was this in your version?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was. And it traumatized me just as, like, I still, it was at that point that I was like, why did we watch this?
Like, why? That?
It Noah was less traumatizing to me after watching numerous seasons of Bizarre Foods, where they sort of do that regularly, and it's just like, here, now eat it. So it was a little less jarring,
but
still
at least something came of that. Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
Fish to eat. This is just a shitty movie.
Yeah.
Made because of this turtle horrific.
Yeah.
You don't want to say what it was. But.
So Rob adds, other than that, it's a pretty fun / horrific movie with very memorable music.
Disagree with your
opinion. The music is memorable. We mocked it like crazy.
Yes. The movie is the music in this movie is like unironically good. It's not like laugh at. It's like legit fucking a really good soundtrack. What makes it funny is that it's applied to this stupid fucking movie that makes no sense. Completely out of place. It's like if you took that and made it like a period movie and had this disco soundtrack, it would work perfectly. But you're just hearing boom, 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 while people are fucking eating each other. It's hilarious.
It's just that was the music of the time. So they're like, all right, what do people like to listen to? Let's get some of that.
It's great.
Does it have anything to do with the story we're trying to tell? Nope.
And if you watch our Patreon episode about this movie, there's like 79,000 disco puns in it because we couldn't stop like remarking on the disco soundtrack. Cannibal movie.
Yeah.
So you can watch it on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. It's up there now. And another perk of our Patreon is being a top livecast fan of the week. And actually, before I get into the top livecast fans of the week, I do want to mention that next week we're going to be moving. Moving the show. We're going to be doing the show a little later. Noah will be back next week. Hooray! We missed her. And we're going to have Noah back, and we're going to be doing the show starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Did I get that right?
Yes.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, going until about 10:30 Eastern. So we're starting a little later, about 2.5 hours later in the day, still on Tuesday nights. And we hope you can join us. And our top livecast fans to be a top lobcast fan.
A top lobster fan.
Contribute $10 a month or more at our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And here are the top livecast fans of this week. They include Eric.
You doing it as Zoltan?
Rova Ganush, a.k.a. Justin.
Justin.
Benjamin. Eldudarina. Dan R. Kettle Decaf, Mindy Mayer Skipa, Croak Destroyer, Sam I Am I Is, Gender, Chasseurs, Chasseutes, LaCroix, The Crustacean Sensation, A.K.A. Good Stomper, Ash Bazhilov,
very good,
Dallas, Roba Vampiroa, Shane Hugo like Daka. Here goes. And finally, hi guys, it's Josh. Those are our top livecast fans. Thank you so much for all your support. Thank you to all of our livecast stars.
Thank you to Rode for these sexy microphones.
Thank you to Rode for keeping us sounding sexy. Mm-hmm. And, of course, thank you to Jordan Wu for joining us earlier. Joining us earlier. And thank you, Darren and Sid, for joining me.
You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure. We're going to get out of here.
That's the first time you think. That's right.
Better late than never.
So we're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week. Later time. Hope you can join us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right.
So, Rob, were you not recording for the first half of the show?
Yeah, but it's recording on YouTube, so I can just grab it off there.
Okay. So then why do you record separately at all?
Because I have to wait for it to encode on YouTube, whereas this way I just have it right away.
Okay. So it'll go up a little bit later?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, let me know when it's on Omni so I could do the tag and extract the read and all that.
Yep. All right.
Lovely. Clips to extract.